Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, broadcasting this week from the Antiquities Division here at Car Talk Plaza.
Is that an unkind reference to my age?
Well, it wasn't going to be, but now that you mention it. No, it's about this news story. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
King Tut's chariot.
Wow.
His actual chariot arrived in New York City recently.
Really? How much does he want for it?
More than $500, I'm pretty sure.
Forget it.
No, it's here to be displayed in Times Square, but this is a true story. I heard this on Wait, Don't Tell Me. The chariot was actually held at customs because, get this, it didn't have a vehicle identification number.
Get out.
No, it's true, evidently. It was shipped over from Egypt, obviously, in a container. It was labeled as a chariot. And then this inspector at the dock says, hey, this guy's got a vehicle coming in here? It ain't coming in unless I got a VIN number, you know?
Hey, the guy's doing his job. What do you want?
Well, according to Peter Sagal, the problem was that the VIN was in hieroglyphics. It was, you ready for this?
Yeah.
Dog, dog, eyeball, hawk, jackal, god, guy walking like an Egyptian eyeball.
Well, there's your problem.
Anyways, you would expect they finally let it in, and I actually have a big scoop.
You do?
Yeah, I managed to get my hands on the Monroney sticker for Tut's chariot.
Get out.
No, I have it right here. I do.
This is the actual sticker.
Yeah, this was in the window when young Tut bought the car at Nile Delta Chrysler Plymouth.
What's the MPG rating?
Actually, it was in cubits per bushel. 4 on dirt, 6 on cobblestone, but more interesting, I think, is the list of optional equipment.
Really, now?
Well, for instance, you ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Here's the list of optional equipment. It came with, number one, a universal pyramid opener. You know, universal garage door opener?
Of course.
Right?
Yeah.
It had a hybrid drive system. It ran on horses and vanquished opponents. It had an autocratic transmission.
I got one of those, too.
Eternally sealed bearings.
Ooh.
It had an early version of the odometer, which was a guy named Odom, who ran alongside and counted the miles. A bumper sticker, ready for this, that says Ramses 2 in 08. And he meant 08. And most importantly, an extended afterlife warranty.
Yeah, good luck using it, though.
All right, look, if you have a question about King Tut's chariot or your own chariot, give us a call. We're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
My name is Bernard. I'm calling from Yucaipa, California.
Where?
Bernard, from Yucaipa. E-U?
No, it's Yucaipa.
Yucaipa.
Yeah, we're about halfway between L.A. and Palm Springs in the foothills of the San Bernardino Mountains.
Oh, okay.
That's good. I know exactly where you are, although I'm sure I've seen the sign and didn't pronounce it right.
Yeah.
So what's up, Bernard?
Well, thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks. Have a great day.
Okay, bye-bye.
That was fun. Well, I have an 03 Kia Sedona, and it's making a really embarrassing noise. Every time it makes this noise, and it's a farting noise, I always get this overwhelming urge to turn to the passenger if I have one and say, I'm so sorry, excuse me, I couldn't help it. Here come those tacos.
Here come those tacos. I know they'll come back to haunt you. It could be days later, too.
Well, it's actually a winding up noise. It comes from the rear of the car, and it'll happen whether I'm on the freeway or in park or going in reverse, and it sounds like this.
Whoa.
But it's a winding up noise.
Well, I think what's winding up is the pressure is building up inside the... Is it more likely to happen
inside
on
the gas tank.
Right. Is it more likely to happen on a real hot day?
Yeah. It doesn't sound like a release of gases or anything. It does sound like a farting noise, but it sounds more
What do you think a fart is? It's nothing but that. Oh, no, it sounds exactly like that, except the kinds of gases that are being released here are not the kinds that you'd get from an overdose of burritos, but you're getting gasoline vapors coming out of your gas tank. So there must be some kind of pressure relief valve or something on your evaporative emission control that isn't functioning. And rather than blow the lines off, it's releasing the pressure. It's like a pressure release. And All gaseous releases start with this winding up, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know.
I get a feeling you guys are just winding me up here.
No. That's the
well,
point.
You're right.
Know, if you're watching someone about to have a gaseous release of his own, usually the wind up is when he changes his posture and lifts a cheek. So I think that's what's happening here, that the thing is building up pressure. And when it can't handle it because part of the evaporative system isn't working, it just releases the pressure. Okay, so you need to take. My guess is if it isn't on already, your check engine light's going to come on very soon.
Yeah, no, it's not on.
It's not on. How long has this been going on?
I know it's been going on at least 4 years since my wife and I got back together. She says it's been going on since the day she bought the car.
Then I bet you if you take this thing back to the Kia dealer, there's going to be a bulletin on this.
Okay.
Yeah, there's
got to
be.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And if nothing else, you'll provide some really good laughs with the people at the dealership. Good luck. Good luck, Bernard.
Good luck is right.
All right. Thanks very much, guys.
See you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Chrissy from Steamboat Springs, Colorado.
Chrissy?
Yes, Chrissy, with C-H-R-I-S-S-I-E.
Oh, that's exactly how I was going to say. From where?
Steamboat Springs, Colorado.
Oh, Steamboat Springs. I think I've been there.
Oh, okay.
But I don't recall seeing any steamboats, but maybe I was sleeping. Anyway, what's going on, Chrissy?
Okay, I have a 2000 Honda Civic, and I have a dispute right now with my boyfriend. And here's the situation. In Steamboat Springs, as you know, if you have visited, we have a lot of really big hills. And then when we drive to Denver, we have to go over a couple mountain passes.
Yeah.
And my theory is, and this happened just the other day, I always turn the air conditioner off to get more power to my Honda when I have to go up the hill. And then we had to roll the windows down, and he was getting irritated because it was hot and blah, blah, blah. And so that's my theory, and he says that is all psychosomatic and that we don't have to turn the air conditioner off to get power.
Is he a big guy?
I think he probably weighs about 210 pounds, 205 pounds.
So he tells you 210, he must weigh 250. That's an eighth of a ton. And the whole car only weighs a half a ton. So he's a quarter of the whole car. So he's more of an impediment to the ability to climb hills than the AC is. I mean, he is right that you're right, actually. The turning off the AC does make sense, but it does it by itself.
Oh.
Okay.
Sure.
When you're under a situation where you've floored the gas pedal, which I imagine you are doing to climb these steep hills, the air conditioner shuts off because it knows that it needs extra power.
It does?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then it'll cycle back on.
So that is why, because I always turn the air conditioner off because I can feel the car. I feel like the car is going into a lower gear, so I always turn it off thinking that it's going to rev up.
Well, that's okay, too. Let it rev up.
Okay.
You have an automatic transmission.
I have a stick shift.
Oh, you have a stick shift, so you're in fifth gear.
I usually downshift to fourth, and then I turn the air off. And then when I'm going up the pass, I'll downshift to third if I have to. And if I have to downshift to third, I would definitely turn the air off. And he just thinks I'm crazy.
Well, I think you may be right.
Yes.
Because...
Wait
a minute. I didn't like that.
Wait a minute. He said, I think you may be right. He's going to say something stupid now. And
no.
Be right.
If you had it floored, the air conditioner would get turned off on its own. But because you're not flooring it and you're driving it kind of sensibly and you're downshifting like you should be climbing this hill, you will get the air conditioner will be running when you are in, say, third gear climbing the hill, if that's the right gear to be in, and the engine is running at, say, 3,000 RPM or something like that. And you will get more power if you turn the AC off.
Okay, good.
I mean, the engine is the supplier of power for everything. It moves the car, but it also runs the compressor. And the compressor is sucking several horsepower away from the engine. And you haven't got that many to give away. You know, if you had a big 400 horsepower V8 engine, you wouldn't notice that you had turned off the AC, nor would you.
Okay.
But now you're driving something with 140 horsepower probably, and it's like, oh, I better turn off the AC because I might not make it to the top of this hill. So what's the longest hill that you're climbing with the AC off? How long does your boyfriend have to suffer there? Don't forget, he's a big fat guy. Big fat guys sweat a lot.
He's not fat.
Oh, he's a big guy. He's a big guy, and he sweats a lot. Big guys. He's tall, 6'7", 6'8", I know. So big guys sweat a lot. So what's the longest you've made him sweat?
He's probably had to sweat about 10 minutes. Because it's about 7 miles up the mountain pass.
What if you went up the mountain and didn't open the windows?
It would be hot.
You see, opening the windows is counterproductive because it increases your wind resistance. The car is slickest
with
the windows up.
Oh.
So the ideal thing would be to keep the windows closed and the AC off. If you want to maximize the amount of power, impose the least amount of drag on the engine.
I don't know how he's going to feel about that.
Oh, he already hates you.
Especially after he thinks that we called him fat.
No, I didn't call him fat. That was you. Listen, but you should try maybe turning the AC off, leaving the windows closed, and when it starts to get warm, turn the AC on for a minute, then turn it off again, and cycle it on and off. It's probably doing that on its own anyway.
Gosh, I didn't know that. That's good to know.
And more importantly, so when you get to the top of the mountain with your sweaty, stinky boyfriend, you go out to dinner or go to have a social evening with friends or whatever?
Usually we're going to visit, and then we go out to eat.
Oh, so you're going to go visit with your sweaty, stinky boyfriend.
Oh,
you're going to subject your friends and family to that. Leave the AC on. Okay, Chrissy, I think we've caused enough trouble.
Oh, my God.
No, I think that, you could probably be better served leaving the AC on and shutting it off, turning it on, shutting it off. But in theory, you're right, except for the opening the window part.
Okay, and I will take that. As long as I'm even right in theory, that's good with me.
Barely right. Barely. All right, good luck.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye, Chrissy.
Good luck.
Bye.
Bye-bye. We got her in trouble. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is John from Whidbey Island, Washington.
What's happening, man?
Well, I don't know if this is normal, but I replaced the battery in my Island truck. It's an F-250-75, and is this supposed to be sparks and fireworks?
No, unless you hook it up backwards. Yeah.
No, that's not supposed to be. That's
well,
a good
wait
question.
A minute. Did you do it on 4th of July?
This was in late August.
Late August. Huh?
And what did you do?
Well, I'm a generous person. I let my neighbor use my truck, brought it back, left the key on, and 3 weeks later I came back to use the truck because I don't use this truck very often, and it was dead. So I went and bought a new battery. I stuck the battery in where the posts were on the old battery, same configuration, but I stuck negative on positive, positive on negative.
What was the duration of the sparking and arcing?
Probably, I was moving pretty fast, I'd say 15, 20 seconds, and then the starter solenoid on the fender started smoking, and I on the red cable that goes to the battery, so I ripped that off. I figured I probably fried that solenoid, so I went down, got a new one, mm-hmm. brought it back, looked at each wire, replaced one wire at a time so I didn't screw that up.
Yeah, it's hard to tell which color the wires are when they're all charred.
Yeah.
So replaced it all, put the cables back on.
Correctly.
Properly.
Uh-huh.
And it smoked again. The positive wire from the battery to the solenoid started smoking again. So then ripped it off again and shut the hood, and my kids, who actually think you're kind of annoying.
So do our kids.
They told me, hey, call the Car Talk guys. So here we are.
Yeah, so you melted other wires. You have created some short circuits by melting other wires in the harness. So you said it took 15 or 20 seconds before you unhooked it. So my guess is you hooked the thing up and then proceeded to walk to the cab to start the thing up?
No, I didn't. As soon as I put those on there, it might have been less than, 15 seconds.
Well, it should have
been a second.
It should have been a fraction of a second.
As
soon as you touched that thing.
As soon as you saw that what was happening, you should have, boom, right away taken it off.
I was in a time warp.
You're in a time warp. So you hooked the thing up and you said, no, that ain't right.
Yeah. So I ripped it off.
Yeah. Well, you undoubtedly melted wires in the harness other than those that go to the solenoid.
Okay.
So you're going to have to, you know where these wiring harnesses are? There's a big bundle of wires that goes right through the firewall of the truck.
Yeah.
You're going to have to cut those open and see how many wires are melted in there. Mm-hmm. And there are probably wires melted lots of places.
Mm. You might have to
that's why
bring
that,
it somewhere.
That's why that warning is there.
Yeah.
Don't hook the battery up backwards. And you may find out that the damage is so great that it's not worth fixing the truck.
Yeah, it runs on 7 cylinders anyway.
Oh, this might be it. This might have been a sign.
Oh, okay.
And how old was this? How old is this truck?
It's a 75.
It's a 1975.
It's
time.
Yeah. Kiss it goodbye.
Yeah. But just, you know, for educational purposes, it'll be worthwhile to open up some of those harnesses. You can even go up under the dash and cut open some of those harnesses just to see the extent of the damage that 15 inattentive seconds can cause.
Oh.
You guys, I work with a pastry bag. I don't want to deal with
it. You don't want to deal with it? You work with a pastry
bag.
All right. Then I think you should decorate it and push it into the water.
Yeah.
See it, John.
Kiss it
goodbye.
You're
great. Thanks.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, look, it's time for us to take a short break.
And when we come back, what's going to happen?
Well, I have important news about our beloved puzzler.
Did it win the Nobel Prize in Bogosity?
Well, stay tuned to find out. We'll have puzzler news and more of your car questions right after this short break.
So please stay tuned.
Get a doll and we'll have a ball. We can double date, double date. I got Dad's car, so go on and call. We can double date, double date. It's more fun when there's someone to take turns at the wheel. That old backseat can really be neat when you're cruising in a brand new automobile. Grab that phone and get your honey. We can double date, double date. I got the car and you got the money. We can double date, double date. Get yourself a neat one up home. Get yourself a sweet one. Let's go see the show from the very last row when we double date.
And even though Walmart greeters tell us to get lost whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like you're a parent and need a scared straight punishment for your kids.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly. <you know. laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, here to talk about cars, car repair, and news about a brand new puzzler.
Yeah. Is it back?
It's back, baby.
Oh, ho, ho.
Bigger, better, and boguser than ever. So later in the show, we'll have the first puzzler of the new puzzler season, so stay tuned for that.
I have a question about your puzzle strategy.
What's that?
Are you going to start the season with a lousy puzzler and work your way up? Or are you going to start with a lousy puzzler and work your way down?
Well, I haven't decided yet, but it's pretty obvious I'm starting with a lousy puzzler. Anyway, give us a call. We're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Leah, and I'm calling from Jackson, Mississippi.
Hi, Leah. Hi. From Jackson, Mississippi. What's up?
Well, I drive a 2003 Lexus ES300. And I don't have a question so much as a situation I was hoping y'all could help me with.
Sure.
About a week and a half ago, I was coming home from the grocery, and I had several grocery bags sitting on the passenger side of my car.
Yeah.
And I leaned over to adjust the bags, and out pops this little baby gecko.
Really?
Yes.
From where?
I don't know. Well, one of two places. Either he hitched a ride on the produce that I just bought,
uh-huh,
or he got into my car during the day, because I usually leave the windows cracked because it's been so hot. So either he snuck in that way or on the asparagus that I had bought.
On the asparagus? Oh, really, they're the same color as asparagus. Right?
I really don't know. And
buy one, get one free.
Exactly. A free pet with your purchase. So anyway, I was trying to get the lizard out of the car and, you know, spent several minutes trying to do that. And instead of going out of the passenger side door, he crawled underneath my dashboard. And I haven't seen him since. And I'm really concerned that he's just taken up residence there, or that maybe he's a she and he's going to have a bunch of babies and my car will be filled with lizards at some point.
Oh, leaping lizards.
And isn't that going to frighten you someday?
Well, there's a 50-50 chance that it's a she. Okay. Yes. And I don't know what the chances are that she is a bearing child or children. Yeah. So I think there's a very small chance that you're going to have more lizards. And if you do, you just have to set the car on fire. That's all. But I don't know how you're going to... I don't know what an appropriate... Why are you calling us?
We don't know about lizards. Well, you need to find out about lizards because you want to find someone who will tell you, open the left door and do such and such, and it'll run out.
Well, I did a little bit of research online, and it says that these guys love to hitchhike on, of all things, produce trucks, which makes me think that's how he got into my car in the first place.
What you need to do is go to the same farm stand every week. You know, park your car, leave the door open. Yeah. Do you have a name for this lizard yet? Larry? Is he Larry the Lizard?
Sure, why not? That sounds great.
No, I think you need to get him close to his natural habitat. He doesn't want to be in your dashboard. He wants to be with his produce, so I think you need to take him to a farm stand.
He's got to get hungry.
Well, he's going to get hungry, and he's going to eat every bug. Every bug that comes into your car is dead meat.
And then the wires are going to start looking like dead meat.
No, I don't think he's going to eat your wires necessarily, unless he gets really hungry.
Well, that was my concern too. Is there any way he could get up in the ventilation system?
Oh yeah,
he can get anywhere.
Oh great.
Yeah, he can crawl up your pant leg too.
Fantastic.
Well, I'm sure geckos are pretty harmless.
They're not harmless because if they scare you, you're going to rack the car up.
Well, that's true. If this guy were to crawl up your leg while you were driving the car on the highway.
Oh, forget it. You're dead.
Do you think you'd be able to say, oh, that's just the gecko?
No, probably not.
I had a little fellow that does landscaping in my neighborhood that I had run into, and he was supposed to leave me an estimate in my mailbox. Mm-hmm. We don't use our mailbox. We have one in our garage door, but he told me he'd leave it in the one by the front door, and we never close this thing. It's got a lid on it and it's open all the time. So the other night at about midnight, when I expected to find his estimate in there, I went and reached in, and it was midnight now. It's dark, and late and quiet. The neighborhood is very, very quiet. And I reach in, and I'm feeling around for this piece of paper, which I assume is going to be his estimate to cut my grass and all that. And I don't feel anything, and I decide to move my hand along the entire length of it, and I feel something furry.
Oh,
no.
And I didn't know what it was, and I withdrew my hand, and at the same time, this furry thing emerged and flew right at me. It was a bat.
Oh, no.
Bat in the mailbox.
A bat in the mailbox. When was the last time you had that happen to you? I gotta tell you.
Good stuff.
I was as prepared for that as you will be for gecko climbing up your leg.
Right.
I almost fell down the stairs.
Oh no.
Yeah, the thing probably weighs what, an ounce?
Yeah.
Oh, not even.
Not even.
I mean,
not even.
Oh yeah.
Was a baby. It was about 2 inches long. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, my bat was a baby, too, but I tell you, he scared the bejeebers out of me. So beware. I would try to get him. I would start hanging around at farm stands and maybe dangle some asparagus or something. Maybe he'll latch on to something. But
yeah.
Listen, it's obviously his food of choice.
You know, leave the window open. Maybe he'll just exit, but you'll never know. You'll never know. And I would sell the car as soon as possible. See you, Leah.
I'll keep that in mind. Thank you so much.
Don't worry. He'll be fine. You'll be friends.
Yeah, sure.
That sounds good to me.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Harvey. I'm calling from Tacoma Park, Maryland.
Ah, okay, Tacoma Park. So what's up, Harvey?
Well, I own a 90 Accord LX, and it's recently sadly expired. So I've been out test driving new cars, and I went to a Mazda dealer, and I drove the Mazda 6. Huh. And while we're out tooling around, the salesman's telling me about this newfangled technology called blind spot detection.
I've driven the very car.
Oh, okay.
With BSM.
These two little arrows, you know, on the driver's and passenger side mirrors, they light up when there's a car in your blind spot.
Mm-hmm.
And if the lights are on and you put on your blinker to change lanes, it beeps to say, hey, stupid, remember I told you there's a car there.
Right.
So it seems like a really worthwhile feature, and I like the car in general. But then I headed off to my Honda dealer.
Yeah.
And I got to say, the minute I got behind the wheel of the Accord, it felt like home sweet home. Yeah. But then we're driving back to the dealers, and road opens up to a four-lane road. So I figure, let me open it up a little, see how it goes here. And sure enough, I start to change lanes. There was a car smack in my blind spot on the driver's side. So in this rather unnerving instant, my comfort zone with the Honda kind of went vamoose. And so I've got two questions. The first is, how much should this blind spot detection equipment feature enter into my decision?
And it sounds like a lot.
secondly, on a more existential level, do you think this heart-pounding moment of panic was a sign from above, like maybe I should be, you know, going to services more or talking to a lawyer about getting my affairs in order?
That's probably true.
Well, it is interesting that this should have happened this way. Did you feel that there was something about the new Honda? Because I have a theory about newer cars, which I will explain, obviously. But do you feel there was something about the car that afforded you a less than adequate view of what was the blind spot? In other words, you must have looked in the mirror.
Absolutely.
And you didn't see anything.
You probably looked over your shoulder.
Yep.
Right? And you didn't see somebody, and you cut somebody off, probably somebody's grandmother.
Who was passing you at 80 miles an hour.
Exactly.
Was there wailing and gnashing of teeth and gesturing?
Yeah, there probably was a little, although I tried to play it cool, and the salesman didn't seem to, you know, have much of an uptake on it either.
Yeah.
Back in the lane, I didn't wind up cutting anybody off.
I mean, I have felt for the longest time, and all new cars are guilty of this to some extent. Most new cars have reduced visibility over their predecessors. Because there's bigger pillars, bigger headrests, you know, and the belt line is higher on a lot of cars. That is the line that's made between the sheet metal and the glass of the side windows. And that belt line usually rises up in the back so that sometimes it looks like the rear window is a lot bigger than in fact it really is. And it looks from the outside, it looks big. And then when you get to sit behind the wheel, you say, hey, when I look out this rear window, I'm looking up at the sky. Mm. And a lot of newer cars have, in fact, backup monitors that beep, beep, beep when you back up, because there's no chance you're going to be able to see out the back and see the little car that's parked behind you.
Right.
So I'm in fact, I think this made our top 10 list of things we'd like to see on all new cars, and blind spot monitoring is an absolute must, whether the car has good visibility or not.
Are there a lot of other dealers, makers, that are now instituting blind spot detection technology?
Yeah, I don't know exactly who, but it's little by little, everyone's going to, and now, rest assured that next week Honda's going to have it. after hearing this phone call.
Right.
And it may be that next year's model, you waited 20 years to buy a car. If the 2011 model is going to have it, or the 2012, might as well wait.
Well, yeah, I would like to do that, but as I say, my current one has expired for probably the last time, and I just don't see putting the money in to keep it going.
Oh, okay. Well,
then you got to buy a heap until you can get something good.
Right. Oh, you think an interim car is the way to go?
Interim car.
Huh?
Don't forget,
exactly.
You've been driving a heap, and who better to give you advice on driving a heap than my
me.
Brother?
I knew he was going to say that.
All he drives is heaps. You know how some people rescue animals? You know, they see a dog that's been hit or a dog that's been sent to the shelter and it's going to be destroyed. My brother does that with cars. He can't stand to see a car go to its final reward, so to speak. So
no.
when someone is ready to junk a car, Tommy says, oh, no.
I'll buy it.
I'll rescue that thing.
So in other words, you're telling me if I put this baby on a flatbed and drive up to Cambridge, you might be able to get me rescued in terms of waiting another year or so for a new car.
Might be, but
absolutely.
I think Tommy's advice might be, all right, buy an interim car. Buy a used car or some jalopy for a year. You've been driving a jalopy.
I beg your pardon.
I'm sorry, but you've been driving an old car, a 20-year-old car.
So buy yourself a nice 19-year-old car.
I could trade up. There's a thought.
So buy next year's Honda. I'm pretty sure they're going to have it. If you can't wait, buy the Mazda.
Okay.
See you, Harvey.
Thank you, guys.
Take care.
Good luck.
Bye-bye. I think
we
may have actually given him sound advice.
It's a mistake. Well, how did that happen?
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Adam from San Diego.
Hey, Adam.
Hey, Adam.
How are you?
Guys, I need your help. Otherwise, I'm going to be in big trouble here.
Okay.
Girlfriend, huh?
You guys got it.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
My girlfriend left for business for a week. Left me her 2008 Jeep Cherokee extended truck.
And you did something stupid. Am I right?
she didn't leave her dog or anything, did she?
Well, she did leave the dog. That was part of the contract. Oh. She left the dog, and I took care of it. I also got the car.
What kind of a dog does she have?
It's like a mutt, Rottweiler, beagle mix.
Oh, good, good. Mutts are good.
All right, what did you do?
So I took the truck camping with a couple buddies, and in order to get into the campsite, I had to put in a four-wheel drive. So I did so, and we got to the campsite, had a great weekend, but on Sunday, on our way back home, I couldn't get it out of four-wheel drive. It's a stick shift, and to the left of the stick is the rod that takes it in and out.
Yeah, there's a thing that says two-wheel high.
Right.
Four-wheel high, four-wheel low.
And there doesn't seem to be any tension on it. It's almost free planted.
Oh, so the linkage fell off.
The linkage fell off.
Yeah, when you drove over that 6-foot diameter boulder that you weren't going to tell us about.
You didn't tell us about, right?
I don't think anything hit the bottom of the car, but...
Yeah, well...
Think about it.
So, is she still away?
She is. I've got a couple more days left before...
You're in deep trouble, boy.
So you drove back in four-wheel drive.
Yeah, we tried to take our time. We went very slow, but we didn't know what to do. We would have been stuck.
Yeah, or you would have crashed the vehicle, and that would have solved the problem right there. So you have 2 days left. Have you considered, Adam, taking it to the Jeep dealer?
I've got an appointment to bring it in on Monday, and she comes back Monday night.
Perfect timing.
Yeah, I would.
Well, I don't know if they could fix it in time.
Did you explain to them the dire circumstances here?
What
are the likely consequences? If the thing is, let's say it's not fixable easily, so they must keep it for several days. So when she comes back, she'll have no vehicle.
If that's the case, what are you going to tell her?
Right.
She's going to say, "Where's my car?" And you're going to say what?
What are you going to do? A Jackie Gleason? How am I?
Probably. I think a candlelight dinner and my car would be in order.
Had she? Oh, your car. So you have to. Oh, so what color 03 Civic do you have?
I'm driving a 98 Volvo S70.
Oh, it's even better. Did she leave you when she left with any admonitions about whatever you do, Adam?
Don't blank.
Yeah. Don't mess up my Jeep.
Yes, don't mess up the Jeep and feed the dog.
Well, I would be very careful with the dog. You make sure, because the Jeep, she might be able to understand, but if something happens to the dog, you're really in deep doo-doo.
Oh, yeah.
That's it, yeah.
If in fact, you're lucky, I mean, the linkage, you guys, I imagine, went underneath and looked at this thing and didn't see anything amiss.
Yeah, I mean, we went underneath, we couldn't really figure out, you know, what we were looking at.
Well, it's possible that whatever is broken is broken internally, which means that 2 days to repair this might not be enough.
Okay.
Yeah, if I were you, I'd try to get it in about 2 days ago. I think that might
or
work.
Or maybe you could delay her arrival.
Oh, how would I do that?
A sandstorm.
Go out of town. You go out of town with her car.
With her car.
oh, better than
that. And you leave a note.
No, better than that. You tell her, look, hon, you've worked very hard this week. Why don't we meet at Tahoe and spend a few days in Tahoe?
Yeah.
Call your boss.
While your car is getting fixed.
No, don't tell her that part. And then you arrange to have a buddy of yours pick up the car after it gets fixed, deliver it to the driveway, leave it there. Oh, feed the dogs, too. Right? So Jim's going to have to feed the dog, pick up the Jeep, wash and wax all the floors, and you and the girlfriend meet in Tahoe for a couple of days while the thing is being fixed, and she'll never know anything.
Oh, it's brilliant. I think I'm going to call Tom right now.
All right, go for it, man.
Thanks, guys.
Best of luck.
See, he's going to get caught. Good luck, Adam. All right, look, we have to take a short break.
Yeah, and when we come back, we'll have a brand new puzzler. Is that right?
Is it too late to back out now?
Yes, it is. So give us a little hint. What's the new puzzler about?
Well, it's about someone lost in space.
Is that where I am?
That's it, baby. It's about you. So stay tuned. We'll be back with a new puzzler and more of your car questions in just a minute.
Yes, it's true that he and I were sweethearts. Now he's about to steal your heart away. You're asking me to tell you all I know about him, and I have only one thing to say. I wouldn't buy a used car from him. Don't trust a man that's every woman's friend. Those kind will always get you in the end. I wouldn't buy a used car from him.
And even though prospective car buyers refuse the optional sound system whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
I can hardly wait.
Okay, especially considering you're going to find out where you've been all these years.
Right.
I mentioned earlier this is from my Lost in Space series.
And yeah, yeah.
You ready?
Yeah.
It's been a complete secret until now, but it's a story that really must be told. Some years ago, Tommy was chosen to be a NASA astronaut.
Yeah.
Now, during his rigorous 3-hour training program, there had been some talk about a stuck bolt preventing the deployment of a solar collector.
Oh.
So my brother decided to take matters into his own hands, and he's that kind of guy.
Yeah.
So while the other crew members slept, Tommy put on his spacesuit, opened the hatch, and with his official Car Talk toolkit in hand, he exited the spacecraft.
Ooh.
With skills honed from years of working on Renaults, MGs, Triumphs, Fiats, and Dodge Darts. Have you ever heard a longer list of loser cars? And you've owned every one of them.
They're all beautiful, though.
With those skills, he managed to free the stuck bolt and by himself deployed the solar collector.
Wow.
Now, as he turned to pick up his toolkit, he noticed that it drifted away a little bit. He reached for it, but in the process launched himself and that cheap toolkit into the inky darkness of space. Not good. Now, in his haste and eagerness to become a hero, so to speak, he had forgotten the all-important tether.
Oh.
Now, the distance between him...
What a mistake.
...and the safety of the open hatch was slowly but undeniably increasing. He called for help, hoping that his shipmates could help, and they couldn't hear him. Why? They're all sleeping. But in utter frustration and despair, Tommy did something that, I guess by luck, saved his sorry butt. The question is...
Wait. Luck or genius?
I'm going to go with luck here.
Oh,
what did he do? Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on an 8-foot diamond plate deluxe aluminum garage cabinet system with a 1,000-pound base cabinet work surface capacity, 1,000 pounds, 400-pound interior shelf capacity, optional floor adjusters, double doors, and full-size lockable handles, and send it along with a nice set of tools to fill it up with to Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge. Cambridge?
All fair
Cambridge, it's been a long time since we've done this Puzzler. Matt02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
Now, if you have a question for us, give us a call. We're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
I'm Brooke, and I'm calling from Tucson, Arizona.
Brooke, okay. Brooke from Tucson.
Yes.
What's going on, Brooke?
Thanks for having me. So I drive a 2007 Subaru Tribeca. Every time I turn left, it sounds like there's water rushing under the dashboard from one side to the other, primarily on the passenger side.
Uh-huh. You know why it sounds like water rushing under the dashboard from the passenger side?
Now get this. This is going to be the good answer.
Because there is.
Because there is water.
Yeah.
I knew that.
You've probably run your air conditioner every day this summer.
I do. We live in Tucson.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So what's happening is the water that the air conditioner is taking out of the air is not leaving the vehicle. It's staying trapped in the evaporator housing. You know, underneath, buried underneath that dashboard someplace is this little thing that looks like a radiator that's actually an evaporator. And what it is, it's like a cold glass of lemonade on a summer, hot summer's day.
Hmm.
This thing gets cold because refrigerant gets pumped through it. And when it gets cold, hot, humid air that comes in contact with it condenses.
It turns into water.
Exactly.
Imagine that.
And that water drips down into the housing that houses that evaporator, and is supposed to drip out under your car. And it isn't it isn't dripping out because the thing got plugged up.
Uh-huh.
And it's sloshing, and eventually it's going to spill out onto your $500 designer shoes. And you're going to be really...
I own any.
If you won't, then don't buy any, because it's about to happen.
I won't.
And it's probably plugged up with, like, I don't know, a dead squirrel or something. No, more likely leaves, twigs, pollen, or the kinds of things that get into your ventilation system as you drive the car. Because you're always allowing fresh air to come in, and it comes into, with all its various contaminants and whatnot, into that same box that the evaporator is housed in.
Okay.
Now, your car does have a cabin air filter, and it should filter out a lot of that stuff, but enough of it gets by, I guess, so that this thing gets plugged up and doesn't drain out. And at some point, you'll make a very sharp turn, or you'll slam on the brakes really hard, and a cascade of water
will come on your feet.
Yeah, it'll be like the ninth cataract, you know, on the Nile.
So just take it to your mechanic, and he'll fix it in 2 minutes.
Yeah, they'll blow the thing out, and you'll be good to go.
Thank you so much for your help. I appreciate it.
Thanks for calling, Brooke.
Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye.
You too.
No, bye-bye. Thanks for calling. No, you thanks. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, this is James calling from Gainesville, Florida.
Hey, James, what's going on?
I got a slight problem. I think I might have accidentally done something that might make my mom's car blow up.
I would say
up. Oh, that's great.
It might. I'm not sure.
What did you do? And we'll
what's
we'll,
the car?
We'll talk you. We'll talk you down.
What kind of a car is it?
It's a Jaguar XJ8. It's a loaned one because my fiance's car got crushed by an oak tree.
Oh, she loaned it to you.
Yes.
And how old a car is it?
It's a 2000.
All right.
So what did you do?
I drove it to work the other day, and I was low on gas, and I figured, all right, I'll just go get gas right after work. But when I went out after work to start up the car, it wouldn't start.
Yeah, you had no gas.
That's exactly what I thought. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
So I called AAA, but they said it would take an hour and a half to get there. I just didn't have the time. So I work at a school and knew that we had lawnmowers that had regular unleaded gas.
Okay.
And I went and got a gallon of gas and a funnel, but the funnel wouldn't reach all the way to get into the gas tank. There's that little plate that covers it so that you can't get in.
Yeah.
So I had to be another problem solver, and I took a pen and moved the little plate out of the way and started pouring the gas in. It's working great.
So this is,
and
this
then
is,
you, and then
those of you that
lost
know,
the pen.
The pen cap fell off into the gas tank.
I could see it coming.
And it's now floating around, sinking in the bottom, going... I'm afraid it's going to go into the engine and blow up, or go into the air conditioner and shoot out at my face. I'm very worried about it.
You're very worried.
Well, I can't get to any of those
places. Does anyone else besides the three of us know you did this?
I don't want to call my mom and be like, yeah, there's a pen... And the worst part about it, it wasn't even the gas.
Oh, it wasn't the gas that was preventing it from starting?
It turned out that a security code had been tripped or something.
Oh.
So the bad part is I did this and it wasn't even necessary.
Yeah.
Right. That's always the case.
But it's running okay now.
It seems to be running fine, but at any time, I'm afraid it's just going to, you know, go off like in Casino.
But it was just the cap. It was the blue cap from a Bic pen, right?
Well, unfortunately, it might have been like a soft metal pen. You know, not one of those fancy ones, but...
It wouldn't make any difference. You could throw a dozen pens in there.
Yeah.
The stuff that the fuel pump, the sending unit, and even the tank are made out of is, get ready for this, plastic.
Oh.
So if the gasoline isn't dissolving those things, it probably isn't dissolving the pen. Now, admittedly, there are lots of different kinds of plastic, but in order to satisfy your concern here, I think I would go and take the rest of the pen, or one just like it, and go back to the facility where they had where you stole the gasoline, okay, and immerse one of those pens in a, you know, maybe a cup of gasoline or better than that, a soda pop bottle, so you can see what effect the gasoline has on it. And I'm going to guess none.
Is the pen cap going to always be just kind of floating in the tank?
There's a screen that's at the base of the pump. You could imagine that all kinds of foreign stuff gets into your gasoline from time to time. Pen caps, shoes, bicycles. And you don't want that stuff being sucked up by the fuel pump because the pump would get damaged. And if it managed to get past the pump and got chewed up by the pump and shot up to your injectors, they would get plugged up. So that pen cap is never going anywhere. It's going to be in there for eternity. Some fine day, the pump is going to conk out, not because of this, but because the car's 10 years old. And some technician's going to pull the tank out and pull the pump out. And he's going to call over somebody, one of his coworkers, and say, "Fred, look at this.
You want a pen?"
"I found your pen." Yeah, so I wouldn't be too worried about it.
Don't even think about
it. But don't tell anyone.
Forget about
your secret is safe with us.
Oh, well, I very much appreciate it.
We're not going to tell anybody.
Yeah, we're
not
going to.
I did not ruin her car.
No, you're not ruining her car. Not yet, anyway. You'll have plenty of chances, I'm sure. See you, see you, James.
Thank you.
Take care. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Lauren calling from Lansing, Michigan.
Lauren.
Hi, Lauren from Lansing. What's cooking?
Well, I've got a 2008 Volkswagen Jetta. Love it, except for I'm finding when it's either raining or moist outside, damp, the driver's side vent makes a really strange noise.
Like what?
Like, it reminds me of a toy I had as a kid where you kind of blow into it and it goes...
This is the vent that's sending air out of the dashboard?
Yes.
And it obviously is only making the noise when you have the AC on.
I believe it might make the noise in the winter as well. You know, right now it's kind of warm outside, so we haven't checked it. But it doesn't happen every time it rains, however. Just sometimes, or sometimes when it's really damp outside.
So when it rains, you probably have either the defroster or the AC on. Is that true?
Potentially, yes. I haven't done a scientific
study. Well, you have to do some science here. Either something is stuck in there, either something fell into your defroster. You're missing any earrings? Engagement ring?
I'm missing a back of an earring, yes.
There you go.
I mean, all that ductwork is made out of plastic.
Okay.
And if anything gets stuck in there and gets hung up on something, you could easily imagine it could make that kind of a noise.
Even if it's not constant, sometimes it'll go and then it sounds like, it's sort of died off and then it'll come up again.
Does it make a difference which setting? For example, you can direct air to your feet to come out at your face, to come out at the windshield. Does it make a difference which one of those it's set on as to how much noise you get or whether or not you get noise at all?
I only pay attention when the air is coming out at me, so on the upper part.
Yeah, uh-huh. So otherwise you don't hear it or it's not there.
Right, right.
Yeah, something's stuck in that thing. So you have a lot of choices.
Oh, no.
You could stuff something in there, like a roll of toilet paper. No, you need to take it someplace, and they're gonna have to take your dashboard apart.
Oh, wow, that sounds intense.
If someone is sitting in the passenger seat, do they hear this as much as you do? Or can you, if you sat in the passenger seat, because you don't have to be moving to hear this, you can go and sit in the passenger seat, turn the blower on, and see if you hear the same noise coming from that side. Have you done that?
No, never done that.
You should try that.
Has anyone ever sat in that seat and heard it?
No, and if they have, they haven't said anything. Ah. They're too polite to tell me my car.
So make the noise again for us, Lauren.
Like that.
And how
like
long?
One of those toys you blow into. I can't remember what it is. But...
Yeah, like, is it like a kazoo? Is that what it is?
Yeah, like a kazoo.
And how long is?
That's the exact tune it made the other day.
So what's the periodicity of it? In other words, how long is it between? And is it regular? For example, if it makes it right now,
when's the next one?
When's the next one?
Maybe in a couple months.
Couple months.
Yeah, and I only notice it when it's either damp outside or raining. Like a beautiful day like today, not going to hear it.
I don't know. I really don't. I mean, it obviously has something to do with moisture getting in there, but I haven't the foggiest idea.
Is that a play on words?
Right. But we are going to. We have a new aide here, and it's not a person. Mm-hmm. It's a device. It's called the Roulette Wheel of Automotive Misfortune. And we're going to
when we're stuck.
We're going to when we're stuck, which is often, we spin this thing, and this may in fact
come up with an answer.
Come up with an answer. So are you ready, Lauren? I'm going to give it a spin.
I'm passing my seatbelt. I'm ready.
Okay, hold on, because we have to spin this thing. Can you hear it?
I can hear it.
Oh.
Okay, it's settling in now.
Oh. We're going to get an answer here.
Oh, wait a minute.
Okay.
Wait a minute. I got to get the
chart. What does it say?
Ah, here it is. Number 27. Go to your auto parts store and look for things that say miracle on the can. There you go. Final answer. Good luck. Yeah, I'm guessing when it drives you crazy enough, and if it doesn't soon enough get subsumed by other noises the car is making, you'll have someone take the dashboard apart. Yeah.
So maybe even just bring it, you know, when I'm going to my oil change. Just...
Yeah, because you're still under warranty still.
Yes.
Right? Oh, yeah. Bring it in and tell them, hey, there's something awful going on here. I'm afraid the engine's falling out. Fix it while I'm still covered by the warranty. Good luck.
Thank you so much.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've frittered away another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green, Carly Nix, and Catherine Frau Blücher Fenolosa. Our Blackie is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parotti. Our interns are Chris Cuff and Emily Mackey. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the West Denali Hot Tamale, Fresh Bialy, Lemon Lolly Coffee Trolley, Free Lunch Volley with Mario Batali is John Bugsy Lawler. My goodness. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. My brother's home health aide from the Rome office is Anita DePenza. His beard cleaner is Emil in itself. Our director of proverbial wisdom is Burton DeHand. Our contract negotiator is Javier Cake. Our chief impersonator is Ted Ringer. Our table saw operator is Les Digits. Tommy's personal psychiatrist is Manny Luce Cruz. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the over-caffeinated freshman in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
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 We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1037. Take a gander through the Car Talk archives or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, can you do it yourself?
Yes, a lot of people ask us, is this a job I can do myself? And the answer depends.
Yeah. Is it changing a taillight bulb?
Or reboring the cylinders on a V12 Maserati? And then you have to factor in your level of skills.
Can you change a light bulb?
Or have you ever built a working nuclear reactor out of leaves in your backyard? Well, we've analyzed all the factors so you can look up common repairs and see how they rate on the do-it-yourselfable index.
Check it out all week at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though dolphins curse their human-like intelligence whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.